Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is the Lamp and Light broadcast coming to you from Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry that takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is, to men as they are, without compromise or apology, while at the same time speaking the truth in love, giving the lamp and light to all.
Yesterday, in our study of 1 Timothy chapter 4, we were talking about those who are careful about what they eat and will not eat certain things for religious beliefs. Let's continue with that thought today.
And now, here's our teacher and radio pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
It's not what you eat that's going to make you a holy person. And sometimes people get caught up with the outward. Now, don't forget, as we go back, what did we see this was, according to verse 1? Doctrines of devils. We're reminded of Eastern pantheistic religions being promoted among nominal Christians today. They teach vegetarianism while venerating animals. I talked to a lady recently who said she is a vegan. And so I spoke to her about being a vegan, maybe some of the differences between that and vegetarianism. But she told me one of the reasons she became a vegan was because she read a book and she read of the cruelty in slaughtering animals. Now, I don't know how they go about it, but is there a nice way to kill an animal? You know, and please don't write me and start telling me all these things. I know they try to kill the animal as quickly as they can so that they can prepare the meat to sell when they slaughter these animals for food. Now, they think that they're operating from scientific fact. But the truth of the matter is that all of this is geared and aimed at the disintegration of biblical faith. Now, don't get pulled in by that. And by the way, don't send me your materials because you'll be wasting your money on stamps. Now, I'm not against vegetables, okay? And I think it's a good thing for people to eat vegetables. Some people think I don't eat vegetables at all, but I do. I eat potatoes. I eat corn. I eat about any kind of a bean. I eat peas. And so I have vegetables I eat. Then there are some that I can eat. I just don't care for them that much. I'll eat celery from time to time and lettuce from time to time. But outside of that, that's about it for me. And I get lectures all the time. And here I am in my 60s, and I'm still getting lectured about eating your vegetables, and I need to eat more leafy green. Well, I went to Vitamin World, and I found there they had pills called 10 Green Vitamins or something like that. But they have 10 different greens in them. They have spinach in them. They have kale in them. They have 10 different kind of vegetables that I don't eat in them. And so I take them. I take one of those a day. Well, I was telling one lady that was giving me a good lecture about it, and she says, well, that's not the same. I said, yes, ma'am, I don't get the insecticides that y'all get when you eat your vegetables. Well, she didn't appreciate that, and I was just having a little fun picking at her. But what I'm saying is this. It's fine to look at that stuff and eat well, and perhaps more of us should take notice of that, of how we eat. But let's understand, it's not a religion. And it's not something where we should be getting upset with others. What is the contrast? Well, God made them meats to be received with thanksgiving, verse 4 tells us. Look there again at 1 Timothy 4:4. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. Now, God made them meats, and he made them to be received with thanksgiving. And it is of them that believe and know the truth. That is, they who live by the word of God. They know the truth of verse 4. Now, which creatures are good? He said every. Every creature is what we're told. Every creature of God is good. It's not to be refused. If it be received with thanksgiving. Now again, you look at verse 3 and telling us what we can eat. Then you look at verse 4, it's saying the opposite of what this church that will come up and try to tell you. And we see it just kind of growing in these last days that where even the government now is trying to step in and tell you whether you can take your children to get a hamburger or whatever else. Now, the food itself has no moral quality. Again, let me repeat that. The food itself has no moral quality. Romans chapter 14, verse 14 speaks of meat, but it acquires a holy quality by its consecration to God. And it is consecrated to God by acknowledging it as God's gift, and you're partaking of it as nourishing your body for that day, that your body may be used for his service. And so that's why verse 5 again said that it was sanctified by the word of God and prayer. By the way, this shows us in verse 5 that grace or prayer said before each meal is a scriptural thing and a scriptural blessing and something every Christian should do. We see in the Bible in 1 Samuel chapter 9, verse 13, with Samuel and Saul's first meeting, the first time they met each other on a personal level, that there was a great meal served, and before they served it, Samuel, the prophet of God, gave thanks. Christ, in blessing the loaves by which he and the fish by which he fed 5,000 men and the women and children besides, that all of that was first blessed with prayer. Before the bread was passed at that Last Supper, prayer was made. Before the juice was passed at the Last Supper, prayer was made. Paul was on the ship in Acts chapter 27, and they had rowed, and they were about to lose their lives, they thought. And they had fasted for many days. And then Paul, knowing God would deliver, stood up and said, guys, you need to eat. You need to eat. And so he stood up and had a prayer for the food, and they ate. I believe that it's a terrible thing. It's offensive to God not to pray for a meal. What a shame. When you see a Christian sit down in a public eating place and give no evidence that they have thanked God for what's before them. Now, sometimes there are those that do say a prayer, but nobody in the restaurant has an idea that they did. Some of them have the headache prayer. They're rubbing their temples like, oh, I've got a headache. But really what they're doing is they have their head bowed and they're saying a silent prayer. Some of them just kind of take their handkerchief out and act like they're blowing their nose and they're actually saying a prayer. And some of them will say the prayer without bowing their head, say it in their mind, say it silently. And it's the fastest prayer on record. And see, it's become something that was, well, I've got to do this. And it has nothing to do with a real true heart that's thankful to God for what they have. And by the way, When it comes to your food at your home, whether your wife cooks it or daddy cooked it or someone else cooked it, don't complain about what you have received with thanksgiving. Now, friend, 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 5 tells us how things would be today. And it is. We've been warned. Don't be fooled. Now we'll go on to verse 6, and verses 6 through 16 actually in the Greek make up one paragraph. Now I like to take the Textus Receptus, since that is the right Greek text to translate the Bible from. And right now, the only one that's honestly, truly translated from it without the addition of critical notes of other things is the Textus Receptus. And so I like to look it over and see how it's divided into paragraphs before I actually prepare these messages and these studies and these books. And in this particular situation, verses 6 through 16 make up one paragraph. Now, in this particular section of the book, the Holy Spirit is dwelling on godliness in one's life, particularly the life of the pastor. Now, friend, no man can lift another person above their own level. If a pastor is going to be used of God to reach and teach others, he must be characterized by true holiness himself. And if you want to bring your children up to a higher spiritual and moral plane, you need to be up there yourself as well. Now, in verses 6 through 8, we see some do's and don'ts. In verse 6, it says, "If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine whereunto thou hast attained." Now, isn't this interesting for us today? Do. The word do there is written in a continuous action tense. In other words, you do it, and you continue to do it. Be faithful to these instructions. He is to continually put the brethren in remembrance. Now, I believe that he's referring in particular to the first five verses of this chapter. But not only that, I think that overall, it's referring back to what's been written in general in the book of 1 Timothy to this point. And so he's saying, take these things and put them in remembrance. They need to be in remembrance of what a quality of a pastor is in chapter 3, verses 1 through 7, the deacon's call, and then how they're to behave in the house of God. They're to remember chapter 2 and talking about prayers for all men. And
this is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD or cassette tape of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name, mailing address, the radio station by which you are listening, the date of the broadcast, and a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. We also welcome your comments on the broadcast and Bible questions. Again, you may write us at the same address, which is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us on the web at www.centralbaptistocala.org. No breaks. Click Sermon Library. Again, that web address is www.centralbaptistocala.org. With no breaks. This is your announcer, Jerry Banks, saying, may God's peace be with all
that are in Christ Jesus.